thankful for the opportunity to speak to you tonight, the confidence that's been shown in me to be able to do this, even though I've only been here a short time. I want to talk to you tonight about our possessions and money and how we think about those things and how we use them. I've noticed in myself in the past couple of years since I've been out of school, kind of a change in the way that I think about the money I have and about the possessions I don't have. Or at least I'm not supposed to go back to mom and dad and ask for help and things like that. I'm no longer getting money from the government to go to school, but I'm paying them back now. Things like that tend to change your perspective. Brings a little more concern and anxiety. And I know all of us who have been on our own for any amount of time have been through some of the same things and maybe more so. And not only that, but unexpected things come up, things break that need to be fixed. Sometimes we can be stolen from, our possessions can be broken into. And so at times you can really get a lot of concern about having enough, about what you're, how you're going to pay for the next month and things like that. Not only that, but we live in a country that encourages us to consume, to have more and more, that promotes an idea that our self-esteem and our worth as a person somehow derives from our possessions and how much money we have. And all of these things drive us to really spend a lot of thought and a lot of efforts on obtaining more, on having more. But what does the Bible have to say about this? I don't think many of these ideas go along with the biblical concepts or the things that Jesus taught us. If you would turn in your Bibles to Luke, the 12th chapter. That's page 701 in the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 13. Jesus was being followed by a large crowd at this time. In verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." Some translations render greed covetousness in this instance. Before we go on, I just want to note that the man asking in the crowd, I mean, think about what he's asking for, his family inheritance. Not something that we would normally think is covetous. Something that most people would say the guy's entitled to, you know, his family inheritance. Let's keep reading in verse 16. Jesus goes on to illustrate with the parable. He told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Now think for a moment also about the man described in this story. There's nothing indicating that he gained anything dishonestly or that he was fraudulent. It would seem that he probably worked hard for his possessions. And he's done well, and the Lord has blessed him with abundance. And he begins to reason, well, if I save up these things, then I can take it easy for a few years. It almost kind of sounds like he's forming a bit of a retirement plan, if you will. But God calls him a fool. And he takes his life from him that night so he would never get to carry out his plans. And from a worldly point of view, that just doesn't really seem fair, does it? This guy's worked hard, he's made all these plans to enjoy these things in the future, and then just like that, his life is taken from him. But Jesus gives us a little bit of a key in 21. So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he goes on to explain that we are not to worry about the things in our life, what we will eat, what we will wear. And he gives the illustration that even the birds, the ravens, the common flowers of the field, God takes care of all of these and even clothes them more magnificently than the richest man who ever lived. Won't God clothe us that much more than the lilies, which are far less value than we are? And so we see that the man in the parable ought not to have been worrying so much, or he wasn't even really worrying, but concerned with his own possessions. Now what I really want to talk to you about, if you'll skip down to verse 31, Jesus tells the crowd, "But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." Now, most of the time, we probably think about seeking the kingdom as Bible study, prayer, coming to worship.